Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being with us today. And of course, as always, you can catch the show live every day at 11 o'clock, every weekday at 11 o'clock here on the Big X. And most days we've got the 3 o'clock replay if you miss it live at 11. We've always got the podcast available for you as well. On SoundCloud and on Apple Podcast as well. Going to get to a lot of stuff today. Going to be a little shortened live show. I'll tell you why here in just a moment. But let's set the guest lineup for you today, presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. First segment, Hoosier Headlines, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We've got some recruiting stuff to go to. That's kind of the theme of the week, and I think that's going to continue, obviously, for the next couple weeks with Indiana having some open scholarships and college coaches able to hit the road to recruit the younger guys. I should say younger, but guys that are juniors and will be seniors next year in high school and below. That live period in the spring, the only live period is this weekend. So the recruiting talk and chatter, I think specifically from an IU side of things, is going to continue for the next number of weeks, which is fine with us. In the offseason, basketball never stops. Recruiting often moves the needle this time of year, and that's exactly what's happening right now if you're following all the headlines around Indiana. Also in the program today, segment two, I'll be joined by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll dig into some IU basketball stuff. We'll dig into some Romeo Langford stuff. We'll talk a little bit about recruiting and the recruiting period this weekend as well. And then the final segment, we're going to replay the Greg Doyle interview from Tuesday. I unfortunately have to leave for a funeral a little early today, so we'll have Greg Doyle from Tuesday's show, if you missed that, in the final segment of our program today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. One of the things I want to start with, and I'll admit I was even this way when Devontae Green declared for the NBA that he was going to at least test the waters. But with more IU guys testing the waters, Al Durham and Justin Smith, we talked about this a lot yesterday on the program, reading a lot of stuff over the last couple days from media sources that are writing about all the kids, all the players across the country. I think it's 233 underclassmen is what is on the list that the NBA provided to its teams earlier this week that are going to test the draft waters. When you really stop it, and let me say this, IU fans being critical of some of their own players testing the NBA waters, when you really stop and think about it, when you really look at the new rules, every player that has aspirations and any sort of ability at all should declare for the draft to get the opportunity to talk with agents, to get the opportunity to talk with NBA personnel. There's nothing wrong with it. It shouldn't be taken as a slap into the face to your program that you support. Well, that kid wants to leave. He wants to go to the NBA. He's focused there and not on college. Given the rules and given how you can now declare to at least get feedback, even if the feedback is negative, and I think Jeff Rabjohns yesterday, if you missed that interview, you can go back and listen to it, but he was pretty right on the money with what I think the narrative has been from a lot of people I respect, at least, that why not test the waters? Why not figure out what you need to do for the NBA, for professional basketball of some level, to ever be a possibility for you if you're an underclassman and you've got some skill to you, why not give it a go? It should help your college program in the case of Al Durham and Justin Smith and Devontae Green. You would think that the opportunity to go through this process and get feedback and get the workouts in and be criticized most likely for what they can't do at the NBA level at this time or some of the weaknesses in their respective games, you would think that that would help the IU situation. Not only will it help them individually as players, but I mean, we've all been on teams before, whether it's Little League Baseball or high school basketball or those listening that were fortunate enough to play in college. You get tired of hearing from your coach at some point, no matter who the coach is, no matter how successful they are. So an opportunity to hear criticism, honest criticism, as Jeff Ravjohns put it yesterday, from NBA scouts, I would think Archie Miller would welcome that for as many of his players that wanted to test that out as well. So it's been really interesting to me to see the amount of fans, IU fans, critical of players like Devontae Green and Al Durham and Justin Smith, who didn't always have the best of seasons and didn't always make the best of decisions on the court, and but still showed all of them some promise at times for the future. Some more than others, you could argue, but it's interesting to see the blowback about and the lack of, I guess, of understanding. And some of it that it's some new rules and things seem to be ever changing in the world of college basketball and declaring for the draft and what you can and can't do. And you can hire an agent, but you can't go back to school. Now you can hire an agent and still return for your eligibility. So I know some of it's probably just pure confusion, but it's been kind of interesting to see some negative blowback toward the IU guys. I think everybody on any college basketball roster at the Division I level that thinks they someday will have an opportunity, even if it's just overseas to play, would take advantage of getting free feedback and the opportunity to kind of network and find what the path to the NBA looks like. Although they may never get there, that's obviously the goal, I would say, of 99% of these kids. So I wanted to start with that. We have covered and talked about this a lot. I'm sure we'll continue to follow these guys through this process. Also, a couple other notes, recruiting stuff. This is good. Bloomington South junior, senior-to-be, Anthony Leal, he has an in-home visit scheduled with IU on Monday. And again, you can fully expect IU and a number of other schools that are recruiting him. Some of those schools have already offered him a scholarship. You can expect those guys to follow him. I believe his Indiana Elite travel team is playing in Dallas this weekend, which is one of the stops on the shoe circuit that will be live for college coaches to attend. So expect to see IU coaches in Dallas, not just to watch Anthony Leal, but to watch other guys that are playing in that Adidas circuit of teams as well. So right after this live weekend, this is kind of an interesting recruiting period because the coaches can come see you in the gym on Saturday, I guess Friday night, Saturday and Sunday. Then they can come visit you at home or at school on Monday and Tuesday. So you'll see a lot of that going on. These coaches will be in the stands, and while they can't communicate to parents or anyone at the game or the players at the games they might be at, they'll be sure to make a beeline to their key prospects that very next day or two, that next week or so, to let them know that they're interested and obviously that they were there to watch him. So Anthony Leal, right there in Bloomington in the backyard of IU, going to get a visit from IU coaches on Monday. Could that be when he receives a scholarship offer from Indiana? A lot of people want to know, hey, he's Indiana kid, he's in the backyard. Is he going to get an offer? He's getting some other Big Ten offers. Indiana don't want to get too far behind in the recruiting process. I know they've had lots of conversations over the years, but will Monday be the day that he gets a scholarship offer from IU? Also, recruiting-wise, Lester Quinones, his visit began yesterday. We talked about this some on the show. It continues today as well, his 48-hour official visit. I think he has a visit scheduled later in this week, or maybe it's this weekend, to Michigan, and then May 10th is the date that he has set to make his college decision. We'll see if Indiana can pick up a 2019 guy. They've missed on Harlan Beverly. They've missed on Anthony Harris. A couple guys lately. Quinones, it looks like, is next up as far as the decision goes. Still waiting on Trendon Watford. And when he, of course, rescheduled, he did not make his decision during the Jordan game as previously thought, but kind of waiting to see when he makes his decision as well. In-state player committed to Purdue last night. A little bit of a surprise. I've only seen this guy play a couple times. It's Jaden Ivey, of Mishawaka Marion. He's in the 2020 class, which is current juniors that will be seniors next high school basketball season. He committed to Purdue, their first commitment in the 2020 class, I believe, and a big in-state player off the board. Indiana had watched him. Indiana had had some interest in him. And an interesting kind of backstory on him being in Mishawaka. Also, his mother was a former player, a women's player at Notre Dame, and is currently an assistant coach for Notre Dame. So I think given his position right by South Bend in Mishawaka, giving his mom's connection to Notre Dame, I think Notre Dame was perceived as a school that would have a great chance to land him. Instead, Purdue swoops in and gets a somewhat early commitment from a very standout player in Indiana's class of 2020. Couple baseball notes to pass along as well. According to the schedule, Josh Rogers, former New Albany pitcher, of course, former Cardinal pitcher at UofL, he's in AAA baseball right now. Got an opportunity for a relief appearance earlier in the season for the Orioles, but is back to the 3A level for now. He is on the schedule, at least, according to his family, to pitch this weekend in Louisville. That's a Friday night game. He pitches for the Norfolk Tides out of Virginia, obviously the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles, when they play at the Louisville Bats on Friday. It's a three-game series at Louisville, and again, he's set to begin, I believe, the Friday game. That can always change, especially in a minor league pitching rotation. We'll check on that tomorrow during the program, but I'm sure a nice outpouring of support, also to kind of get the Derby week started, will be expected at that Bats game on Friday night as well to watch Josh Rogers. Couple high school baseball results last night as well. Some iffy weather caused some of the games in the area to get started a little early. Sixth-ranked Jasper, they were able to get past Jeffersonville. They came up and played at Jeff Donpool Field last night. Jasper defeated the Red Devils by a score of 4-1. Also last night, New Albany was able to get past Clarksville. And I think the final score had it up here in front of me. I believe it was a 6-5 final score. Excuse me, 9-6 final score. New Albany beats Clarksville, who was very competitive with New Albany in that game last night. New Albany improves to 11-4 on the season. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break, a quick one. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. And don't forget, I've got to leave early today, so we're playing a Greg Doyle interview, a replay from Tuesday, to wrap up the show in our final segment today. Still a lot coming your way. Alex is on IU and Romeo next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. On Thursdays, we always have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us to talk IU basketball. And, of course, in the off season, we cover things especially from a lot of different angles. Glad to have Alex with us on the program today. Alex, it's a busy time, IU with some scholarships for next year, live recruiting weekend this weekend as far as for some future potential players for IU go, not next season, but beyond that. So recruiting is definitely at the forefront at this time of year. As far as this weekend goes, targeting some guys from Indiana, targeting some guys from the Midwest and even beyond, there are some different stops around the country that will allow Coach Miller and the staff the opportunity to really evaluate some guys up close and personal, especially with lots of talent under one or two roofs in a lot of these big tournaments. And then the unique part of it is some of their key prospects that they're likely watching this weekend as well in person because of the way the recruiting calendar is set up now, they can go visit with those guys for an in-home or at their school basically right after the weekend concludes. So it'll be a busy weekend to track where the coaches are at, and then it'll be busy next week. We saw Anthony Leal going to get an in-home visit with Indiana next week, and I expect there'll be a lot of other announcements and things come out here over the next few days along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, one of the, I guess, improvements on the recruiting calendar, if you want to call an improvement overall, because there's, there's been a lot of grumbling in terms of the new calendar. But one thing I do like is what you just mentioned. This weekend, coaches are going to be able to go out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'll primarily be in Atlanta for Nike, Dallas for Adidas, and then Kansas City for Under Armour. But they're going to be able to follow up on the weekend, after the weekend, and go visit with their top priorities. So not only will these kids know, which schools are prioritizing them this weekend by who comes up to their games, and it's really going to come down to who's following up with each prospect in the next 4 days following the evaluation period. And it's interesting that Indiana set up the in-home visit with Anthony Leal just one day after the evaluation period ends. You have to wonder, is that going to be the time when the scholarship offer comes? Because I think we've talked about this before, Matt. I think we're getting down to the nitty-gritty in terms of, is Indiana going to offer Anthony Leal or not? He is the top-rated in-state prospect in the class of 2020. It's not your normal class from the state of Indiana. It doesn't look like there's going to be a McDonald's All-American coming from the state, which is really a rare occurrence. If you look over the last 10 to 15 years, pretty much every year Indiana's had a McDonald's All-American. But I think anytime you've got a shooter like Anthony Leal right in your backyard, you've got to take a long, hard look. And with other programs prioritizing Leal and coming at him as recruitment, one school that's really kind of picked things up with him is Virginia. I think Indiana's kind of coming to a point here where they're going to have to make a decision. Do they really want Anthony Leal or not? If they do extend the scholarship offer, I would expect Indiana to be in really good shape there. But I think the longer it goes, the more they open themselves up to other schools getting involved. And, at this point, I think they've seen him enough and evaluated enough to decide whether they do want to go ahead and extend the offer or not.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And interesting to hear that Virginia, one of the schools kind of heating up as far as interest in Anthony Leal of Bloomington South. One of my favorite things to hit on your Inside the Hall website is your recruiting boards. I know you've got a 2019 recruiting board that's still pretty active because Indiana has two scholarships at this point open that we're aware of in that class to potentially hand out. And I'm not sure if you've got the 2020 board up there yet or how that works, but you've always done a great job not only kind of highlighting and making it a great place to follow generally where Indiana's recruiting efforts are headed, but you also have kind of kept it updated in an order of what at least it looks like to you and from others that follow this stuff closely that Indiana is interested in the position that they're in with some of these guys, so you can really get a feel almost for within a recruiting class who is the one or two or three key prospects. So with the live period this weekend, I know we're going to find out where the coaches are at and be able to kind of put it all together to see maybe some of the priorities. But looking at 2020, and I should mention, as I did in the first segment, Jaden Ivey from Mishawaka Marion now off the board in that class. But looking at 2020 and looking even at 2021 from an Indiana Hoosier state, keeping players in the state, who would you see at this point as the priorities in those two classes for IU as far as Archie Miller trying to continue this protect the borders mentality and success really that he's had from recruiting with that so far?
Yeah, with 2020, it's interesting because, we talked about Anthony Leal being really the best player from the state, at least in the rankings. I'm not sure if he is clear-cut the best player. You've probably seen more of these kids in high school games, Matt, than I have on the 2020 guys, but I know in the rankings he's the highest up. The interesting thing is I think this is a class where Indiana's going to have to go outside the state, and one guy that I can tell you for certain that they've made a huge priority is Ethan Morton, who is kind of a combo guard, a wing. I don't know how you want to describe him. He's a really good passer, but he's not really a pure point guard. But I think he's going to be able to handle the ball a lot at the college level. He's from Pennsylvania, which is, right in Archie Miller's wheelhouse. And Indiana's really made him a priority. I sometimes wonder if that's why they've held off on offering Anthony Leal. You know, if they do, would they want Morton and Leal? But personally, I would take both if I could get both. But Morton's, you know, a highly ranked prospect. It seems like he's a guy that really wants to potentially play in the Big Ten. I know Michigan, Ohio State are two other schools that have recruited him a lot. He, to me, if, you know, if I was to make a 2020 board at this point, he would probably be the top guy on it. The reason that I haven't, you know, it used to be I would do a recruiting board 2 or 3 years out, and then I noticed over, you know, time that guys were shuffling on and off it so frequently that I kind of waited usually until the summer before guys' senior years to kind of put one in place, because that's when we really kind of figure out who's going to be taking visits where, who schools are prioritizing. You know, under the old coaching regime, as you remember, there was a ton of early scholarship offers. You look at right now, 2020, Indiana hasn't offered a ton of kids. I would expect that to change, obviously, after this month and kind of heating up here into the summer. But I've kind of found it more useful to not jump the gun and kind of have a better, clear understanding of who they're going after. As far as 2021, you know, obviously Christian Lander, the point guard from Evansville Rights, is near the top of the heap in the, not only the state, but in the country in terms of point guards. And, you know, he's definitely going to be a guy that they're going to make a hard push for. Caleb First, the front court player from Fort Wayne, they've also made him a pretty big priority. You know, he's another guy that's ranked pretty highly nationally. And then, you know, a name that they've had on campus quite a bit for unofficial visits, and I know that other Big Ten schools have been interested in, is Pierce Thomas, who plays at Brownsburg. You know, he's generated a lot of interest, a really good athlete. It'll be interesting to kind of see what kind of AAU season he has, but I think he's a guy that has potential to blow up. But in terms of in-state 2021, those are kind of three of the names that I've had circled to kind of keep an eye out for. I think Lander and First already have offers. But in 2020, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the first two recruiting classes that Archie Miller had, you know, obviously the 2018 class, he was able to get Romeo Langford, Demezi Anderson, and Robert Finnessy, had a heavy in-state flavor. 2019, the same thing with Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin. 2020 is the first one you look at and say, well, he's probably going to have to go outside the natural, footprint. He may even have to, you know, I know he's talked about going after Indiana kids first and the Big Ten footprint, but, you know, a lot of these areas are hard to go into. Ohio, especially now with Chris Holtman, what he's doing at Ohio State, Michigan with John Beilein and Tom Izzo, it's making it more difficult to get players, especially in the Midwest, just how good the Big Ten is. So I think 2020 is going to be really interesting. Indiana's definitely got some spots to fill, and they're going to have to think a little bit outside the box in order to fill them.
How big of a get was it for Matt Painter in Purdue to land Jaden Ivey, somebody that was sure an interesting prospect to follow over the course of the high school basketball season? He really, uh-huh, I think, solidified the fact that he was a high major Division I player, and Purdue getting a big commitment. It sure appears it's in the state. It's a player that was on the rise, a player that Indiana and a lot of other schools, including Notre Dame, who I thought many, many months was the front runner in his recruitment, because of the location and his mom coaching there. But how big of a get is that for Purdue? How high are you on Jaden Ivey? I'm always interested to kind of size up in-state commitments, even to other schools, to see what Indiana missed out on and how good of a player the other school's landing.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for anyone, I think, at this point to question Matt Painter and his ability to evaluate talent and develop guys over the course of the period. Now, I don't think Ivy's going to come in and be an impact player from day one, even maybe to the same degree that what we saw from Eric Hunter this year, who was a little bit higher rated than Ivy, but he did get some significant minutes in the NCAA tournament, and he's a guy looking forward at Purdue you think is going to be a pretty good player. But, you know, I don't know necessarily that Indiana missed out. You know, they looked at Ivy. They had him in, I believe, on a couple visits. Didn't think it was wise to offer this early, and credit to Purdue, they really made him feel like he was a priority early on. I think Notre Dame and Butler had also offered. It's more surprising to me that he is going to Purdue based on kind of the proximity to Notre Dame, as you mentioned, and the fact that his mom's an assistant basketball coach there. You would figure that that would be kind of the front runner to land him in Notre Dame. But credit to Matt Painter and Purdue. I think he's going to be a guy. It might take a little bit of time to develop, but another one of those players that you look at and, 4 years from now, that this kid had a really good, 3 or 4 year career, and really was a productive player. You know, you got to have role guys on every team, and if a guy's willing to come in and kind of use the strengths, the one or two things that he's really good at, and help you win. I mean, Purdue over the last 3 or 4 years has had a ton of guys like that who weren't as highly rated: Dakota Mathias, PJ Thompson, Ryan Klein, but they've all come in and filled roles and play within the team concept, and that's really how you build a team. And if you have that baseline of guys who are really good role players, and you're able to sprinkle in a guy like a Carson Edwards or Caleb Swanigan, that's how you really take things to the next level. So I think Ivy is a guy who's going to be a productive college player. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be from day one, but down the line, I think he's going to be a really solid get for Purdue. So good for them.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Don't forget, a lot of the things we talk about, you can read Alex and his team's coverage, InsideTheHall.com and at Inside the Hall on Twitter. Romeo Langford, NBA draft, that discussion heats up more and more each day. The draft overall obviously coming up in June. And I sense a little bit of unrest from Romeo fans, from IU fans, just from people that want to know what's going on with him. Does he have an agent? How's his hand? Is he going to be able to do any of the workouts or the NBA combine? And everybody that I talk to that's in a position to know a lot more than me, like someone like you, really doesn't know that much. What's going on with Romeo right now?
Well, I think we talked about this last week and the week before, Matt, that I think that laying low might be the best strategy, and I think that may be the course of action here, to not really say much, do much at this point. I mean, there's not a lot to be gained at this point for Romeo to talk too much publicly about, what his next steps are going to be. I do know that he's talked with some agents. I think they're going through the process to figure out who they're going to hire. I don't know if that's necessarily been finalized at this point, but I'm sure once it is, it'll be announced. But I still expect him, obviously, to hire an agent and stay in the draft. But the interesting thing to me, and I don't know, Matt, if you've had a chance to listen to our podcast that we had yesterday with Matt Dollinger, who works for Sports Illustrated. He's their NBA editor. They had their draft analyst, who I've talked about quite a bit, Jeremy Wu, came out with a big board, an updated big board this week, and he had Romeo all the way down at 20. And I've seen some other mock drafts and big boards where he seems to still be falling. So to me, that's the more interesting thing at this point. Is that going to come to fruition? Is he really going to fall outside of the lottery, which to me at this point would be a pretty shocking development. But, I'm not totally surprised that things have been pretty quiet with Romeo to this point. I mean, I think the next, obviously, step will be an announcement on the agent. I don't know if they'll actually make a formal announcement. I'm sure one of the NBA guys that's connected with the agents will kind of get that information. It'll go out on Twitter at some point. And then, obviously, setting up team workouts and figuring out if he's going to be able to do anything at the combine. So that's not too far away. I think the combine is mid to late May. I'm sure he'll at least be there for measurements and interviews and talking to teams. But I think that stuff's going to heat up here sooner rather than later. But not really surprised at this point that it's been as quiet as it has the last couple of weeks.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he had a story that came out, I think, yesterday, this morning. I read it before the show today. One of the quotes, he spoke on the condition of the NBA scout, the league source being anonymous, obviously. But here's a quote. He said, quote, he's talking about Romeo, quote, he's still one of the more talented players in the country. I just think from an NBA perspective, he's probably not as ready to go as maybe he was thought to be before the season. Does that type of language from an NBA scout, does that surprise you at all?
I mean, the NBA, the number one commodity right now is shooting. I mean, if you can't knock down perimeter shots consistently, which Romeo didn't do this season, I think that's when you open yourself up to questioning. Now, with that said, I think we can both agree that he's capable of shooting the ball a lot better than what we saw.
Right.
I think what NBA teams are going to want to see is, was it a result of him just having a bad year? Was it the injury? Was it a combination of both? They're going to want to see something in a workout or some kind of sign that he's going to be able to shoot better than that, because you know, if he's going to be a 30% three-point shooter, I don't necessarily know what his role in the NBA is going to be, because you can't just get by on athleticism and being able to attract, you know, attack the basket and play in transition. He's going to have to be able to space the four and a half court, because, you know, every team has a couple of superstars, and then basically everyone else fits around those players. And if you're going to be, you know, 6 foot six guard and you can't shoot threes, you're on an uphill battle to stick in the league. Now, I think we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves with Romeo and, you know, his shooting. I do think he's going to be able to kind of rebound from that and show that he can shoot it consistently from the perimeter. But when he gets to that level, it's not going to be anything like what it was last year at IU, and definitely nothing like high school. He's not going to be the guy anymore. So how is he going to fill the role of being a complimentary piece, at least from the beginning? Not many rookies come in and dominate the ball and have the ball in their hands at all times. So to me, I think he's going to have to show that he can make the outside shot with some consistency, or his stock could continue to fall, which nobody obviously wants to see that happen.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex is with us Thursdays on the program talking IU basketball. Alex, I know that a lot of our Thursday conversations moving forward, probably to the draft and even we hope beyond the draft, will be discussions about Romeo Langford. People really interested to see how he does, where he goes. You know, it's going to be really interesting. I think there's a lot of unknown right now, and you mentioned kind of laying low given his hand condition and surgery might be the best way to go. It makes it hard for guys like you and I to have stuff to write about and talk about, but it's sure interesting to think about, and we'll see what happens here, I guess, sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. It'll be an interesting time, I think, here coming up the next couple of weeks. You know, I'm looking forward to, you know, just actually seeing where he's going to end up, because there's – I know the last couple of years has kind of been a resurgence in terms of interest in the NBA. I think, you know, the NBA is as good of a squad as it's been in a long time. A lot of great teams, a lot of great franchises. I'm just hopeful that he's going to end up in a spot that's conducive for him to develop over a long period of time and be successful. You know, I think I can't remember. Obviously, there's been few and far between players in terms of coming from Southern Indiana, make it to the NBA, so I'm actually just looking forward to getting a chance to see where he ends up, how he does in the summer league, and then what the team starts with next fall, where he ends up and what kind of role he has. But he'll be somewhere. I think he's going to be able to kind of fight through some of this adversity that he's had with the shooting and answer some questions. I think actually once he gets into some of these workouts, he's going to show himself to be a really impressive guy. And you know, after the top three or four in this draft, I think there's a lot of question marks, and ultimately, in a lot of these situations, they're probably going to fall back to who is one of the more talented guys, and who do we maybe take a chance on for the upside. I think when you look at the list, Romeo's got to be near the top of it in terms of long-term potential upside. If he can answer the shooting questions, if he's 100% healthy, I think he definitely is a lottery pick when it's all said and done.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Thank you, Alex. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll be back with more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is my guest. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy Coffee Crossing's warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use their convenient drive-thru. And, of course, the fourth Coffee Crossing location in Southern Indiana is now open in Sellersburg, easily located near Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. Greg is with me. Greg, I guess we start with the Indiana Pacers. Couldn't get it done against Boston in the NBA playoffs in the first round, then it's just a team that I follow from a distance. You share some knowledge on them from time to time when you join us, but I can't help to think what that series could have looked like with a healthy Victor Oladipo playing in a Pacers uniform.
Yeah, we'll never know, but holy cow, was that a close series. Some of the final scores were maybe 10 or 12 points, but every game was right there for the taking in the late, and the Pacers were without their best player, and their best player at both ends of the court. Oladipo is their all-defensive player. Of course, Miles Turner's pretty good too, but both ends of the court, Oladipo's the guy. And late in the game, when it's time to win a game and you need a bucket, the Celtics had a whole bunch of choices, including Kyrie Irving, and the Pacers had, I mean, they did the best they could. You know, I'm blown away by, and I need to write this week if I get the chance, I'm blown away by the criticism of Nate McMillan around here. I don't know what people are looking at. I mean, the Pacers finished one game behind the Celtics in a year where they didn't have Oladipo for most of the year. They got swept, but every game they were right there. And you look at talent for talent, there was no question. There's no comparison. No comparison. If you're going to draft a team, like an expansion team, off the two rosters, you'd get five or six players deep before you pick the first Pacer, healthy. It's a shame Oladipo wasn't there, but he'll be back next year. I am sure he'll be back better than ever.
Yeah, that was my next question. I don't think there's any concern that this injury, which obviously ended his season, will bleed over into next year. He's expected to be back, and I would think fairly healthy or fairly close to 100% by the time the NBA season gets here. Is that right?
Yeah, he's already walking, I mean, as he should be. He's walking just fine. He showed up at Game 4 and looked good. I don't know what he looks like in the gym, what he's doing. They've not given us that kind of update. But, yeah, what he suffered was not nearly the kind of thing that, you know, say Paul George and Gordon Hayward suffered, where you know they're going to come back, but you kind of wonder, are you going to come back the same? Nobody, what Oladipo suffered, the ruptured tendon, no one is saying, is he going to come back the same? Yeah, he'll come back the same. And he's got that work ethic. And you know, most pro athletes, you get to that level, you got it. But he's got that work ethic where he'll come back dynamite.
Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, this segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. NBA draft in June. We've spent a lot of time, and I know we'll still have lots of conversations in front of us about Romeo Langford and the draft, where he's projected to go, how healthy he is, some of the activities that take place between now and the draft. Is he able to participate in those? And if he is, how's he doing? How's it helping or hurting his stock for the draft? But that said, not only Romeo, but Kyle Guy as well, from Virginia, of course, an Indianapolis native at Lawrence Central High School. He announced for the draft, which I think surprised some people, a few weeks ago, shortly after Virginia won the national championship, and he took to social media yesterday to kind of reaffirm his commitment, because at first it was, I'm gonna declare for the draft, to leave the door open for a return to Virginia, but his message yesterday is clearly, my focus is on the NBA draft. I appreciate my time at Virginia, and he's moving on to the next level. What do you think of him and the NBA? A lot like we've talked about Romeo, where could he go? Where is he projected to go?
Well, real quick, before I get to that, this just occurs to me that I'm pretty sure I could be skipping a year or something, but all 4 years, Mr. Basketball, that I've been here has, you know, turned pro early. Romeo, obviously, before him was Chris Wilkes at UCLA. He's entering the draft. Kyle Guy, and before that, I believe, was Biggie Swanigan.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't even know who was before Biggie. I wasn't here, but I'm sure that guy – no, it was Trey Lyles before that. So that's five in a row, and I'm sure it's more than that. So, and the larger point being that if you're the best basketball player in our state, you're special. I mean, obviously, but you're like elite pro special. That you're not going to be Mr. Basketball in our state and go to some little Division III school and become a dentist. You know, if you're Mr. Basketball here, you're a pro. What kind of pro will Kyle Guy be? You know, I've seen on ESPN when they, on the ticker, he's not ranked in their top 100. And, I mean, I guess I get it up to a point. I mean, he's 6'2", he's kind of skinny. Who's he going to guard? You know, in the NBA, they say you can, how much you play depends on who you can guard. And Virginia, I've heard that Virginia's defense and the way they, Tony, I mean, it's great for college, but it doesn't really do any favors for some guys entering the pros. I'm not sure if that's true, but I've heard that. Just because it leans so much on principles that they don't do in the NBA. it's brilliant, but just brilliant a different way. Look, he's 6'2 or 6'3. He's a plus athlete. I guess for obvious reasons, you might look at him and think he's not. He's an above-the-rim finisher who can handle the ball, but is a great, great shooter. You know, that now is the time where we don't care how tall you are, and we don't care how, all we care, can you shoot? It's almost like quarterback in the NFL. Can you throw the ball, Kyler Murray? Then we'll draft you first overall. And he's not going to go like that, but can you shoot the ball? Well, in this NBA, where it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, there's a place for you. So I'm a little bit surprised that I'm stunned that he's not even a top 100 prospect. Like, really? He was one of the best two or three pure shooters in college basketball last year. There's not a place for that guy in the NBA? You're wrong.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. And while we're on that subject, to talk Romeo for just a moment as well. Everybody wants to know, has he hired an agent? How did the surgery go? Will he be playing in the combine and some of those other opportunities as well that are out there? And it's been really quiet. I've not heard much about him. Have you heard the latest on Romeo? Do you have any scoop that we don't know?
No, but now that you say that, I'm going to start digging around because you're right. That's very interesting. I'm not a doctor, of course. Didn't sleep last night at a Holiday Inn Express either, but I hope for his sake, I mean, assuming I'm right, that he's not doing much, if anything, in the draft combine. It just seems too soon. I could be wrong. You know, maybe you have that surgery on your wrist and your thumb and you're ready to go. And, you know, I hope he doesn't in the combine. I'm wrong about that. You know what I hope now that I'm arguing with myself? He needs to be. I hope he's healthy enough to do it because the NBA needs to see what he looks like healthy. We didn't see it at IU. And he still scored 16, 17 a game, made all Big Ten, all rookie team. But he was clearly hurt in a way that they weren't letting on. So I hope for his sake the surgery and the recovery is fast enough that he can do individual workouts and whatnot, because otherwise you're drafting a guy based on film that's really not accurate of who he's going to be because of the thumb, and also you're drafting a guy that you haven't seen yet. Well, what does he look like now after the surgery? I hope that surgery was done in time, that he's ready for the pre-draft workouts for his sake. He really will need that. I mean, he's going to get picked and get picked high, but he needs to show what he can do to maximize his draft potential.
Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Again, Coffee Crossing, Sellersburg now open. Make sure you check it out. When we talked last, you were in Boston. And I'm getting back to the Pacers and Celtics for just a second, but going a different direction. You were in Boston, you had some time to kill, and you were going to the Celtics practice and going to follow that practice up with, I think, a one-on-one opportunity to talk and catch up with Brad Stevens a little bit. I read your column after that, which, as always, very nicely done. I'm curious, and some people hit me with this, at least one person did, and people love and still, I think, in Indiana are infatuated with Brad Stevens, and many wish that he was a college coach, specifically maybe IU's college coach. But the question I had, can you ask Greg after his talk with Brad Stevens, and this probably did not even come up, but do you have any feeling on someday if maybe the NBA doesn't turn out to be a long-term thing, and it's beginning to be a long-term thing for him. He's been there for a number of years now, but can you see him returning to the college game? Not even talking IU here, not even talking a school in Indiana here, but can you see him returning to the college game at some point?
Yeah, it's possible. Well, before I tell you say that, yes. And I really wouldn't have thought that, and I hadn't even thought about this. It's funny, you know, until someone asks you a question, you don't know what you think, right? And I hadn't really thought about it, but now you ask that question, I knew where you're going, and this whole time it's flooded in my head. Yes, he'll be in college again, and here's why. When I'm talking to him, he says the reason, and I don't know if he's ever said this before, but he told me the reason he left Butler for the Celtics was that he wanted to stretch himself as a coach. He knew that he wasn't good enough, and he wanted to go get better. And so it's almost like going to graduate school. And when you put it that way, what he didn't say was, I wanted to coach the best of the best. It wasn't about who am I coaching. It was about his own development. He wanted to develop and thought he would develop more in the NBA because he wasn't going to leave Butler for another college. It wasn't going to happen. So he went to get his master's level, you know, degree at with the Celtics, and maybe he'll, like a lot of master's students, maybe he'll become a teacher himself and never leave. Maybe he'll never leave campus. Maybe he'll stay with the Celtics for the next 20 years. But I you know, now that you're asking me and now I'm thinking about it, again, he's not in the NBA because he wanted to be in the NBA. He's in the NBA because he wanted to stretch himself. I would not be surprised if he, because he's, I mean, he just seems like such a college guy. He just seems so perfectly collegiate that, and also, he told me his biggest regret in coaching, I mean, I was blown away when he said this, is the two Final Four runs, two championship games. He blames himself. He says, if I was a better coach, a more seasoned, is his terminology, more seasoned, in other words, more experienced, we'd have won. I'm thinking he went, got his master's degree in the NBA, and he's got some unfinished business in college, and he's going to want to come back and do it. I bet he's back, and if I had to guess the school he'll coach at someday, if I had to guess, I'm going to guess he's going to replace Coach K.
Wow. Wow.
That's just a guess. Well, I mean, Lord knows that's a guess. Don't anybody think of Brad. No, Brad doesn't say nothing. I mean, nothing. But, you know, so they're going to get someone special to replace Coach K, obviously. I mean, obviously. And his coaching tree hasn't been that. I mean, Mike Bray's done fine at Notre Dame, but he's probably too old. I don't think you go get Mike Bray to replace Coach K. Wojciechowski's done pretty well at Marquette, but he's really only had one really good year. We'll see. Maybe Wojo. Maybe. Short of those two, only one name makes sense, and it's the guy coaching the Celtics.
Yeah, interesting, interesting, interesting stuff. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, my guest. And this is no, this is probably no surprise, but sometime I lean on Greg and his creative mind for some tips on topics to bring up and things like that. And you wanted me to ask you today about Teacher Appreciation Day, which is probably a subject that won't come up today on most sports shows, but if anybody listens to our segment on a regular basis, they'll know that sometime we don't always talk sports with Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. So Teacher Appreciation Day, your thoughts, and obviously we all appreciate our teachers, but I know you have something special you want to say surrounding that.
Yeah, it's not today.
It was today.
No, it's not. It's not, but I wanted you to ask me because I'm working on the story right now. When I speak at schools, high schools, elementary schools, colleges, if you'll have me, I'll speak there. And inevitably, someone asks me, why'd you become a sports writer? And I tell the same story every time, that when I was in ninth grade in Wisconsin, I played all the sports you could play and you know, enjoyed English class and writing book reports. And my English teacher, Mrs. Connor, said to me, you like writing, you like sports. Have you ever thought about being a sports writer? And until that moment, I hadn't. But that day, I mean, that day, I was a future sports writer. That was the day. And so I tell kids that story. And then I was speaking at a little Catholic school here in Indy a few months ago. And a kid asked me, and I told him that story. And then I kind of blurted out loud, you know what? I need to go find Miss Connor and thank her. I realize I've never thanked her for what she's done for me. So I went looking, like, I want to do this, and then I want to write about it. And so I went looking on the calendar, and Teacher Appreciation Week is March 7th through 11th, I believe. So I'm writing it now. It's going to run that week. The story of it's my search for Miss Connor and thanking her for what she did for me. Teachers, they blow me away because I'm a dad. Like, they didn't blow me away when I was a kid. I probably didn't like them when I was a kid that much, although, yeah, I did. I was a teacher's pet. But they blow me away as a dad because I've got a kid, and I send my kids to school, and you know, you're awake 16 hours a day, and half that day you're with teachers. And they're raising my kids for me, and no one looks at it that way, but that's exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it for not a whole lot of money and not a whole lot of criticism and stress and pressure, and no, they're not all perfect, and we can all think of reasons why. They're not all perfect, but most of them are just so wonderful, and I'm blown away at the career choice they've made, and so it was time to write this, that's all.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Good stuff as always, Greg. Thanks for sharing with us, and thanks for coming on this week as always.
Thanks for getting me crying again, Matt.
It's a weekly thing, but we all love it. We all appreciate you.
All right, talk to you next week. Right. Bye. Greg.
Okay, again, that's an interview recorded this past Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison between Matt and Greg Doyle. And this has been the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.